I'm quarantining myself.
I was going to say, are you going to...
I'm not going to say the E word, you know.
Oh, Marsh Preservation Commission meeting of October 8th, 2014, to order. First order on the agenda is roll call. Present today, Duke York Chair, Katie Chase, Vice Chair, Chris Granfield, Lisa Schlosser, James Steele, Wedge Neighborhood Ex Officio Ross Buffington, and North Slope Ex Officio Marshall McClintock. Item 2B, Administrative Reviews. Are there any comments or questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to 3A, 2105 South C Street. Windows and Painting. We have a staff report, please.
Let's see. 2105 South C Street, Union Station Conservation District. This 1910 J.E. Audrey Wagon and Auto Works building is on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, as well as in the Union Station Conservation District. The applicant is proposing repainting the west and north elevations with Benjamin Moore HC71 Hasbrook Brown on the brick masonry wall and Benjamin Moore 1603 graphite on the woodwork, windows, and trim. The applicant is also proposing restoring the wood windows on the east and north elevations and replacing the west elevation windows with wood windows that match the originals. Additionally, the applicant is proposing installing a replica of the existing west elevation entry in the empty opening on the other side of the same facade. They have requested action requested approval of the above scope of work. Standards. Distinctive features, finishes, and construction techniques or examples of craftsmanship that characterize a property shall be preserved. Deteriorated historic features shall be repaired rather than replaced. Where the severity of deterioration requires replacement of a distinctive feature, the new feature shall match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual qualities, and where possible, materials. Replacement of missing features shall be substantiated by documentary, physical, or pictorial evidence. This building is on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places and in the Union Station Conservation District, and as such is subject to review by the Landmarks Preservation Commission. Paint will be limited to two proposed colors, which match the colors in the surrounding district. The deteriorated historic windows will be repaired, and the new windows and entry will match the originals in design and materials. These changes have been documented. Staff recommends approval of the application.
Mr. Sullivan, additional comments?
No, I think... that pretty well states what we're going to do. Actually, we have paint chips, and I forgot them, so if you needed it in more detail, but we did we tested the paint on the building and photographed it, and actually the digital photograph pretty well gives you a good idea what the color scheme's going to look like. So that's pretty much it. I think the reasoning for the full window replacement on the west elevation is that, as you probably all know, our weather is primarily from the southwest, and that those windows are just shot. We look at them carefully, and they're just not a restorable window. We just don't have enough, especially at the moment. So the replacement windows are a Marvin window that they need to square in the district, and we checked them. Them in advance to make sure that product is good. They're an all-wood window. They are insulated glass, but they are the same configuration and good match on the mullion design profile. They are a, as I think Ruben shared with me, you've dealt with this before, but because they're double pane glass, the mullions are full wood and they're rabbeted into the sash, but there's a double pane glass in the middle, so there's a dark spacer in between the glass, so that visually it reads like a continuous mullion, but they're actually split by the glass unit in between.
I can add to this. I did talk to Michael about this, and typically the simulated divided light with the shadow spacer in there really does make them look like very much like separate panes, whereas if you have to do a true divided light with thermal pane, you ended up with glass, eight times the cost for the glass, because each pane is a separate thermally insulated unit, and oftentimes that actually results in a heavier mullion to support that. And so it really turns out that running with a simulated divided light with a spacer actually works out a little better for the overall appearance of the window.
results in better energy efficiency too. Not that we're supposed to consider that, but.
Well, and that's a great point. And because this is a weather window, a windward window, high performance in, although those, it's only a, you know, a 20% of the total windows in the building, it takes 50% of the weather. So high performance in those windows really shoots up the overall performance of the space inside.
Any questions? Comments?
I just have to say that I have to recuse myself for the vote since I work with Michael.
Oh, all right.
This shows that you're adding a second doorway.
Yes.
Is that to allow you to subdivide the interior and rent it out in two spaces?
Yeah, right, Russ, right now that is a garage door, and that was not original either. So that opening is not an original opening on the building. And what's going to be happening is you'll have separate tenants on the top floor and on the commerce level, and then there'll likely be another tenant down below. So this provides a separate entrance right off the street for the top floor. These improvements are there largely to accommodate a new environmental engineering firm that's going to take the entire top floor. And I think we've talked to you before about this, but the same owner owns that building in the Hunt Moté next door, and plans are in the works now to add four more floors on the building next door, which was originally designed for that load. They're 24-inch square first growth Douglas fir columns in that building, and at the flat roof level, one story up, they suddenly become 2x4 when you produce a flat roof. So it's totally ready to carry that building up. And when they do that, then they'll do elevators and shared upgrades. So,
well, both this project and that one sound like a big step forward for the neighborhood.
Yeah. And you know, Mike Bartlett is an experienced Tacoma developer of historic properties. He did the DeVita building. He's done a lot of projects in, you know, where BCRA, that whole group of buildings, the 21st and Pacific, the Tacoma Grocery, that whole group of buildings have been developed by Mike. So he kind of believes in the city, kind of knows the process a little bit, and so doing half of a building now, you know, is his style of getting into to the larger project. So.
Any other questions? We have a motion?
I move that we accept the paint colors as put forward to the commission. Approve the record and approve.
I'll second that. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Do we capture
passes?
Do we capture everything in the?
Yeah, there's the windows and the entry assembly that all need to be.
Okay. So then I move we approve the exterior paint.
We're going to talk about the metal bolting of the flooring as well.
Yeah, I just want to make you aware of this because I know as commissioners you drive by the projects. So the tenant improvements on the upper level, part of the package is to do some seismic upgrading on the building. So we're going to tie the floor and the roof plate of this building to the walls using epoxy bolts that are going to go in and then an angle iron underneath so the floor is tied in. So they got in to do the pilot drilling on the building, and on the north wall, which is a party wall, it's meant to be a shared wall with the building that isn't there now but will be when it's largely a vacant lot with a little cinder block building on it right now, but eventually that will be a party wall. But when they got into that wall, the engineer spec was to drill, it's basically three wide thick. It's about a 13-inch thick wall. That's the sort of average width. When they started going in drilling, as soon as they hit the backside of the outside surface brick, the face of the brick was shearing off. So the engineer backed off, first of all, and said, you know, that the pull testing on that wall is different now. So what they're going to end up having to do, I believe, although this hasn't been finalized yet, is probably have to through drill and then put a rosette on the outside on that party wall. Now, this won't affect the much higher quality brick face on the Commerce and the C Street side that you'll see. And eventually that block will be filled in and you won't see the engineered ties anyway. But it looks like in order to get this done, we're probably going to end up with a running row of rosettes at the floor level and at the roof diaphragm level on that, on just the secondary facade. And it's just mainly the reason that it's just infill party wall brick is just of such a low quality that it just doesn't give us the anchorage we need to be able to meet the engineering for seismic. As the engineers pointed out to us, if we just anchored on either side, that in an earthquake, that brick is such poor quality that the wall or the roof would probably take out that wall anyway. So we're better off with the anchor. Will anchors will also help with just that wall itself. So anyway.
So since that was not actually part of the motion, if we could maybe address the three parts of the request, and then once we get through that, talk about perhaps moving the rosettes and those decisions to administrative decision process.
Sure, if I can amend the motion. I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission accept the proposed work for the exterior painting, the window replacement repair, and the entry assembly for 2105 South C Street.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Oh, who had the second? Was that? Oh, it's okay. So you can work with the second, Chris, with the motion.
And regarding the decision on whether rosettes would be approved or not, is there any problem with making that an administrative issue?
I don't have a problem with that. Can I ask a question just for my own education of you, Michael? Do they make different styles of rosettes?
Yeah, and I think if you want to go ahead and let, I mean, I think we can go any way you want if they're going to be, I mean, you know, they make ones that are meant to be ornamental that have a, you know, a filigree and they're a cast hardened iron or steel rosette that have a cast pattern into them. And when that was an unavoidable part of brick unreinforced masonry and you had them on primary facades, they tried to gussy them up a little bit.
Yeah.
So those are still available, but, you know, what people seem to be going to now as a preference is just a flat steel so they can get to as flat a surface as possible. But even that can be a square piece, it can be a round piece. It's just the surface area of the plate that they're after and the configuration of that surface area is sort of optional.
I think it was McCarver we were looking at those fancy rosettes on that side of the building.
I would just say I have a preference to have the plates be more kind of utilitarian and less formal or decorative because they're not on the primary facade of the building. And the quality of brick there is more like firewall brick, not high quality formal frontal brick. And so if there were portions of it that ended up getting left exposed, depending on what the adjacent building configuration ends up being, it'd be nice if they were just kind of more utilitarian, simpler.
I think that was the way I agree with that. I think that's what we were aiming
But I'd be happy to make it administrative. That was just more for my own education. Than
I don't think we need to vote on that.
And if you want to leave it to administrative review, I consider myself advised. That's fine.
Very good. Okay.
And in case you're wondering, this doesn't make that much difference. In case you're wondering, the wall, the other wall where the standing building is, has a concrete wall there, and they're able to go in and anchor it through the brick into the concrete, so there's no rosettes on that solid wall.
Michael, thank you. Moving on to item either 4A or 6A, depending on where you look.
Excuse me, I had one question. I meant to ask to add this to the agenda, but I had wondered if Ruben might be able to give us a little update on this, on the stables and sure. What's happening with the roof there and so on.
Sure. So the stables, which is down on Holgate and C Street, is like 23rd. The municipal barn is currently having its roof replaced. I think I notified the commission several months ago when they were going through the bid process on this. But as a part of the building is surplus to the city's needs right now and has been subject of at least a couple of RFPs, but the roof needed to be replaced and they wanted to get that done prior to the winter coming in. And so what's happening there is there's a lot of degradation on the structural members, and so it's basically in-kind replacement on the roof. They talked to me through this process, and actually their specs and permits were issued prior to the Landmarks designation of the building, but I managed to, we had a nice discussion, and they're doing the same tongue and groove wood on the soffits of the building. And so essentially putting back what's there. But it is, and they're actually most of the way along with it, I think, now. There's just a small area that's uncovered. But so the structure should be actually quite a bit better by when they're done. It was, it's been the subject of ongoing maintenance issues, and so the city's actually done quite a bit in the past couple of years to improve that, getting the ivy off the building, painting it, and now removing the rotten roof. And so that's what's happening. I think it's going to be completed very soon. And it should look really good when they're done with it. So,
thank you.
All right, item 6A, bylaws and inventory discussion.
So this doesn't have to be a long discussion at all. It's just it's on the general calendar for the Landmarks Commission. The commission's activities and procedures and so forth are outlined in the commission bylaws, which we put into place back in 2007, and we've updated them a couple of times. And each year, about this time, is the time that the commission, if there are changes that need to be made to those bylaws, can propose them. If you've noticed things about the operation of the commission, or there's something that should change just because it's not working well, what will happen is we would incorporate that as a proposal, and then we'd have to have a public hearing where people can comment on the changes to the bylaws. We don't have any proposed for this year. There was some discussion earlier in the year about just a small change to from contributing to non-contributing in the North Slope Historic District, but at that time the commission gave us guidance that that was probably not something that was something the commission would be interested in doing, so we're not proposing that change going forward. The last time I think we made a change probably was in print, I think, here. We've done some various housekeeping, like with regard to administrative review and so forth. So, like I said, there's no proposed changes now, but if anybody on the commission wants to bring anything forward, we can certainly prepare to do that, and then if so, then we'd hold a public hearing for November 12th. That concludes those remarks. The other thing I'll say is that per code, the bylaws can be changed only once per year during this time, and that just keeps us from making constant tweaks to it all the time and have some deliberative process to it. So that's all I have.
Any submissions, any comments?
I will say that there are some out-of-date things in here. So there's a reference to the Community and Economic Development Department, which no longer houses the Historic Preservation Program. We're going to call that a non-substantive change, and we'll make updates like that. But things that are actually involve the operation of the commission, we still went through the hearing process.
Thank you. 6B, events and activities update.
Right. So there are two upcoming events, the Nitty Gritty Tacoma Salvage Industrial Art Show at Earthwise, October 18th, 1 to 5. I know they have over 15 local artists already signed up to show. Anthem Coffee House is providing free beverages, and there's a food truck present that will have food for sale, so that should be pretty exciting. Hope everyone can come to that. Then we have the Adaptive Reuse Open House and Harmon Brewery Tour, November 14th. That should be 5 to 8 at the Harmon Brewery. We'll have some talks about adaptive reuse in Tacoma, financial incentives, and then the Harmon will do a brewery tour and tasting. So that will be a lot of fun. Sort of an upcoming event, we're hoping to do a holiday fundraiser on December 5th. Still looking for a venue. Someone in the commission mentioned the Grit City Ballroom, which fell through because they were not ADA compliant, but it was a really great, great venue, 1950s condition still. So now FOSS, Seaport Museum, has talked to me, and they're interested in possibly co-hosting or co-sponsoring, so we're gonna have a meeting about that, and that would be really great if they decide to do that.
And that would be really cool. It will be really cool. This is when I said something about swing dancing before. people seem skeptical, but if we get this schedule, I'll go try to find myself like a 1940s suit. You know, I'll be there.
Wow.
And we have talked. Lauren's been, and we're not sure about this, but we have talked about having actual. You know, if you're not, I'm not a swing dancer. I just like the music, but having perhaps some instruction there during the party.
There's a dance team that said they would work with us and do an hour of instruction and performance.
Wow.
During the event, so that would be a lot of fun.
So I know there's no place that any of you would rather be on December 5th than this.
Yeah, so hopefully that comes together soon, working on locking down those details.
Dancing at the Seaport.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
little maritime heritage celebration. And then we've been doing the 2015 Preservation Month planning. We had our first meeting, just people who are interested, last week, and we had a lot of ideas going around. There was some good ideas. So what we think that the Preservation Month will look like is May 5th will be the proclamation. Then I have talked a little bit with Historic Tacoma, and they're interested in doing a kickoff event. Then we're going to do the Amazing Preservation Race, Voter Scavenger Hunt. We'll close with an award ceremony. Historic Homes Tour with the Tacoma Historical Society, and they will also talking to people who work with Bike Month, so that we'll collaborate with them and do a bike tour as well. Tacoma Historical Society may also do a historic beard and hair growing contest. And then I've been working with Hilltop to do a youth spoken word event on Tacoma culture and history. And in that discussion, it was brought up that the winners might get their poems featured on like a poetry on the buses or poetry in some public place. So I'm working on that, of being able to feature their poetry somewhere cool, a museum, public windows. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Let's see, there's also some interest, if we can, in showing the Eyes of the Totem, if that will be available. And I don't know if, Michael, you wanna jump in and say anything about that?
Well, I mean, Lauren, I think everybody probably knows this, but you know, this Weaver Studios, for a short time, Tacoma, we had a major Hollywood-style movie, the company's theater that made big-time movies, and it was right after Chaplin's Gold Rush, and there was kind of a fascination with Klondike-related kind of stories and stuff. And Weaver existed from the early 20s up until talkies came along, and they built a big soundstage down at Titlow, and there's a little bungalow court down there that was part of where the actors lived, and I mean, they had a big staff, and they made what today would be big budget movies in the end of the silent era. They made five movies, four of which really went big time, and then their big sort of important movie was called Eyes of the Totem. And they used the totem pole here as kind of this iconic sort of central device in the movie. The guy who directed it, W.C. Van Dyke, went on to Hollywood for a year and became a major. One was nominated, didn't win, but he was nominated for Academy Award for
we're actually making the movie Thin Man, which was written by Dashiell Hammett, who was also in Tacoma, so there's a circle kind of thing. Katie, don't, everything was. But anyway, so the studio made these movies, and then it's always been, we have stills, and we have pictures and stuff, that, and, you know.
But we don't have any of the actual movies.
Well, the myth, the story that everybody had heard was that none of the movies had survived, that there was none, and like so many of the silent films that were shot on nitrate, they were time bombs. I mean, so they were disposed of because they literally became explosive. So people didn't keep them, and a lot of times, big collections and vaults would just explode, and thousands of feet of film would be destroyed in these big fires. So it was kind of naturally assumed none of the big collections or anything had copies of it. And Lauren was the one who tracked down the fact that in Van Dyke's collection that he eventually left Hollywood, moved to New York, left, and he became a painter and a writer and did a lot of arty kind of stuff, as well as being a wealthy, famous director. He left everything to MoMA, to the Museum of Modern Art. Among his effects was a full copy of Eyes of the Totem on nitrate. And so it was assimilated into MoMA's collection. And Lauren contacted MoMA to see about it, and their first reaction was, what was the number?
$35,000.
$35,000 to be able to get a restored copy of the print. And thought, oh, that sucks. But Stephanie Stevich, who at the Art Museum, has a good relationship with MoMA, and they borrowed stuff from us and at Tacoma Art Museum from our collection. So Stephanie intervened and communicated directly with the director at MoMA, and they got back to us last week and said that they could strike a HD tape version of the full film for us for about $4,500. So it looks like Tacoma Historical Society, a group of us are kind of working on figuring out a way to get that copy. And the University of Washington can convert the HD tape to digital for us so we can show it on digital equipment. And the Blue Mouse has equipment. You could bring that equipment in easily and do a larger show at the Rialto or even the Pantages. So the idea would be we want to do it right, so we probably need to find somebody who could improvise music because it's a silent film, so we want to do that. We want to be able to do a little bit of research. The tantalizing thing about it is that we know from the stills that a lot of the footage was just shot on the street in Tacoma. They used the city as the backdrop and the setting, and the whole story unfolds. They used the Winthrop Hotel that was brand new, and they redid it as this kind of Chinese place. And I just, a lot of the stills kind of tell us that what we'll see on the film are going to be an extraordinary opportunity to look at our city through the eyes of a cinematographer who was here in the 1920s. So really exciting time too for Tacoma. So I mean, that was a time of great activity and vitality, and you know, I mean, it'll be fabulous to be able to see that. And it's five reels, so it's, you know, 2 hours.
Thank you. So that will be very exciting. You can make that happen.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I know I talked to the Broadway Center a little bit, and they would be really excited because H.G. Weaver's films did premiere in the Rialto and Pantages, so be pretty exciting to do. Other news, we are transferring Tacoma Culture website into the regular CMS City website, so that should be live hopefully in a few weeks to a month, so we'll see about that. The next 2015 Preservation Month planning meeting is on the 21st at 4 p.m. and you can let me know if you want an invitation, and I think that's finally everything.
All right, anything else?
Do I have anything else? No, I think I'm good for now.
All right, we are adjourned.
Before everybody leaves, and now that we're formally adjourned for all intent and purposes,
I'm recording.
We've been there for city staff.